All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so imagine that you are being attacked by an enemy. In addition to that, you have people looking to you that don't know what to do, and you're having a problem, serious physical problems in your body. That is what Hezekiah was dealing with and what we're going to discuss today. King Hezekiah was dealing with problems on multiple fronts. And how many of you know often when it rains, it pours? It's you don't go through one situation, all these heads bobbing, because it's not one issue, it's 12 of them, you know, from every side. And you're like, and the kids are sick, and I don't feel well, and. And that's how what was going on with Hezekiah in the story that we're going to read today. And some of us can relate to that. But then things got worse. So we're going to look there. He got some really bad news. And today we're going to look at his response and learn how to respond when things are when things are rough, when we're going through hard things, when we're fighting physical battles in our body, you know, when school is overwhelming, you know, when life is hard and things at home are hard. We're going to learn how to deal with that. So 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1. Actually, we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. So if you want to stand, we'll read verses 1 through 3. It says, "In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death." Now, he was 39 years old at this point. So he was not like an old man, because y'all know 39 is young, right? Young, you know? So I can say that because I am 48. So, you know, young, a young man. Anyway, okay. "And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." You can be seated. So the first thing that we notice is from verse 2. So I don't have slides because we're just going to look at what it says in the scripture today. So in verse 2, it says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. So the prophet comes in, gives him this bad news: get your house in order, you're going to die. And so he turned his face to the wall. He made a good decision. He didn't turn to people first. He turned to God first. And he prayed. And he reminded God, it is a wise thing if it becomes our natural first response. When we hear bad news, when something happens in our family, when something happens in our lives, when we feel overwhelmed, when we don't know what to do, and the earlier that we can learn this, the better. That's why I'm talking to students and, you know, children, as early as we can teach them to pray about it. Let's pray about it. There's nothing that God's like, "I don't care about that. Why are you talking to me about that?" That's never true. My children come and talk to me about all kinds of things, especially the little ones, I mean. And so we get to talk to God. So our first response needs to be prayer, to go to God in prayer. Now, it says he turned his face to the wall and prayed. Some people turn their face to the wall, but they don't pray. It's just, "I am done with this right now. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to deal with anything. Don't talk to me." Turning our face to the wall but not praying is not going to bring answers. The problems are still going to be there when you turn back around. So that's why if we're going to turn around from the problems, we need to turn to the one who can solve them. And we can do that. And turning to the wall in order to talk to God at this point was a good decision. Sometimes, like I said Wednesday night, we need to stop and take a minute to put on the right shoes. To put on the shoes of peace is what I talked about Wednesday. But sometimes we need to take a minute. And if it means, listen, y'all know I have a bunch of children, and the girls are not afraid. How many of you that have toddlers, they are not afraid to follow you into the bathroom, right? So I will go into the bathroom and close and lock the door. Sometimes, I just need a minute. Mom needs a minute. I need to pray for a minute, you know? It's a good thing to just get alone with God for a minute. I heard Susanna Wesley, who raised John Wesley and Charles Wesley, she had 17 children, y'all. I cannot imagine. 17 children. But she had a apron, and she would put her apron over her head. And that was how they knew that mom was praying. I guess because she probably did not have a spare space, like, in the house. I'm picturing with all those children, like, every closet, every side, you know, there was nowhere in the house that she could get alone. So she just threw her apron over her head, and they knew, okay, mom is praying, leave her alone. That was her turning her face to the wall. And we got to learn to do that, to turn our face to the wall and to get alone with God and to let him lead us. He prayed to the God he knew. He had served God. If you read this story of Hezekiah, Hezekiah had brought all kind of reform to the children of Israel. He had torn down high places where the people were worshiping idols, and he had served God. And they called it, with the children of Israel, the God of his father David, because David was known as a man after God's own heart. So all of the godly kings would be referred to as they served God, often like their father David. And that's how it spoke about Hezekiah. His first response was to the one he knew was powerful. Our responses often reveal our priorities. And we have to learn to make God our priority. I am not, and I know sometimes my children are probably like, and roll their eyes like, Mom, you have to make everything spiritual. That's a good thing. When we teach them, listen, you have this test that you're overwhelmed about, let's pray about it. Yes, you should study, and you shouldn't just, like, pray when you didn't study. But God is a merciful God, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't hurt to pray. But we should pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, this is one of those scriptures that I hope, if you've been in this church for any length of time, you've heard it so many times that you have memorized it. That's a good thing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I'm going to read it in the New Living. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's pretty clear. Okay, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So, telling God what our needs are is a wise thing. And thanking him. Whenever I use this verse, I've said before, I have memorized this verse and I just use it like a formula. When I'm overwhelmed and I need to know what to do, okay, the Bible says not to be anxious for anything, but present my request, because I haven't memorized in the New King James, present my request to God with thanksgiving. Oh yeah, I need to be thankful. So then I usually go back, thank you, God, that you are with me in this situation, that you know what I need, that you care about what I'm going through, that you hear me. And then it continues with, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Another set of scriptures that I often just go to as a go-to is James 1, 5 through 8. And I'm going to read those. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So he won't go, why are you so stupid? Why are you asking me that question? Like, he will hear us and answer us. It says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. I have asked God for wisdom and also been blown and tossed by the wind. Like, God, will you please tell me what to do? Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I know I'm so scared and I'm so freaked out and I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, faith says to God, God, I am trusting that you are hearing me and that you are going to give me wisdom. And then you just settle the sea that is raging in your heart. You settle and go, God, I am asking and I am trusting that you're going to give me wisdom. And then you spend time in the Word. And you listen if other people are talking to you and giving you godly advice. You pay attention to that. And if you feel like you should pick up a book and read part of it, God will speak to you that way sometimes. Many times I have just seen a book and thought, I should pick up that book. Open to a page number and the Lord just speaks to me and confirms what he was saying. Now, sometimes it doesn't work and I'm like, well, that obviously wasn't God, you know, so that's okay. But it says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. And then something awesome happened. In verse 4, before the prophet Isaiah even left the court, so he had not even made it out of the building, and God spoke again. It says, and it happened, verse 4, before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So we're going to talk about, we're just going to kind of go step by step and learn how exactly this happened. So as I said, Isaiah has not even made it out of the building, and God said, turn around and go and tell him something else. Because he heard Hezekiah's prayer. God hears us when we pray. Now, God let Hezekiah know. In verse 5, he let him know how he saw him. He said, go tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people. God wants to speak to us and let us know how he sees us. When you're a king and in charge of the people, and God says to you, go and tell the leader of my people, that speaks. Because you know God is saying, that's how God sees me. Because the people saw him as the leader. But when God reminded him, tell the leader of my people. Oh, sorry, I've got an alarm going off. Very strange. Okay, so he said, go and tell the people. God wants to speak to us, but we have to give him time to do so. Y'all, this is something that I feel like I talk about all the time, but it's because it is one of the biggest strategies of the enemy to keep Christians from walking in power. It's just not spend time with God. Just be too busy. Just have time for everything else. Even important things. But just not time to spend with God. This relationship that we have with God is just that. It is a relationship. And in the same way that the more that you talk to somebody, the more you have to talk to them about. Have you ever noticed that? I talk to my sister about every day. Like, you know, in fact, I joke with sometimes if I call you multiple times, I might tell you I am the frequent caller. I get the frequent caller award. You know, my mom used to say that to me sometimes, you know. I mean, but the more that you talk to somebody, the more that you want to talk to them, because the more things you have to talk about, right? The same is true with us and God. The more that we make it a priority to spend time talking to him, the more that it becomes a response for us to talk to him. But then we need to let him talk to us. Reading the Bible, not again so that I can say I have been a good Christian. I have read Luke 1 on December 1st. Now, I would like for you to do that. And being faithful is a good thing. And sometimes we have to get ourselves out of a funk and say, yes, I would rather be watching TV or scrolling on my phone, but I'm going to get off of my phone and I'm going to read my Bible app, or I'm going to read my actual Bible or whatever works for you. We have to talk to ourselves sometimes. But when you do that, take a minute and say, God, would you teach me about yourself today when I'm reading your word? Would you teach me, would you show me something that I need to learn today? You can read it. You can let it read to you. You can, pick up a devotional. There's lots of opportunities. There are lots of on YouVersion. There are gobs of plans that you can do for free that you can read, and they will give you a devotion and talk to you about it. You can get a study Bible that will give you notes. But so often, people don't invest time and money like into the things that really matter. So we got to take time and let God speak to us every day. And even if, at the end of the day, if you missed it and you just hit the ground running, sometimes I wake up late and I just feel like I hit the ground running. And by the time I hit the ground, like life is just busy. So sometimes, and while the girls are napping, when I would rather, or I feel like I need to wash the dishes, sometimes the dishes sit in the sink. Okay, you know what? Something else is getting pushed aside, and I'm going to spend this time with God. And even if you missed it, listen, we all miss it. If at the end of the day you're like, man, I knew I was supposed to read my Bible and now I am falling asleep. You know, read a psalm before you go to bed and wake up to the mercies, the new mercies of God the next day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. So live in the mercy of God and wake up the next day and say, God, thank you that you are with me today and you will help me. If you can't figure out when the best time is, ask him. Say, God, would you show me? Would you help me to see the time that I have to spend time with you? But you have to make it a priority to spend time with the Lord so that he can speak to you. Okay, second, he said in verse 5, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. I have heard your prayer. 1 Peter 3:12, and they're going to put that up on the screen. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That word righteous, it means innocent and holy. We are innocent and holy because of what Jesus did on the cross. So God hears our prayers because I remember I am forgiven because Jesus died on the cross for me. Not because I get it all right, not because I did everything I was supposed to do, not because I'm holier than thou, not because I'm better than anybody. I am righteous and holy and innocent when I believe that Jesus died on the cross to cover my sin and to forgive me. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The more often we can see ourselves as righteous because of Jesus, the more we'll be able to live holy as he's called us to. Because if I don't think that I'm righteous and I can't call on God and I can't draw from his power and I can't live in his presence, I'm not going to be able to live holy because I'm going to be trying to do it myself to prove something to him. But when I understand I am righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross, then I understand I am innocent and holy. If I sin and I ask God to forgive me, he cleanses me from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. And then I get to walk forgiven and holy and righteous and innocent again. That's his promise. So remember why God sees you as righteous, not because of your own righteousness, but because of Jesus and what Jesus did. He said, I have seen your tears. God sees our tears. He knows our pain, the Bible says. In Isaiah 53:4, it says, surely, this is talking about Jesus, he has borne our griefs. Now that word, if you look it up in the Hebrew, what it means sicknesses. And the next word means pain, sorrows. So surely he has borne our griefs or our sicknesses and carried our sorrows or our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So he said, I have seen your tears. God sees. He sees. Listen, this past weekend was the first Thanksgiving without my mom. And this past week I struggled a little bit, I'm going to be honest, because I was just looking at what she went through, because it was hard what she went through at the end. She was blessed. She had a wonderful life. She had a lot of people that loved her. But I got up to spend some time with the Lord on Friday morning, and it was so good. Because God reminded me, Shannon, you're looking at her. You're not looking at me. Because if I look at her and what she went through, it causes me to question and, you know, struggle. And listen, we all have unanswered questions. We don't serve God because he answers all our questions. There will be a day when we won't have any questions, that we will be with the one who answers all the questions. But God just, it was that simple. Like a word from God can change everything. And when he said, you're not looking at me, I fixed my eyes back on him and remembered, okay, God, you are good. And we are blessed and you are faithful and your promises are true. God said to Hezekiah, I have seen your tears. And I'm saying to you today, God has seen your tears. Many times, though, because we don't feel something in the physical, we put on God our own feelings. Because we don't, and maybe we, anyway, we do that to God, and God sees our tears. And then he said, surely I will heal you. Healing is God's promise to his people. Jesus already paid for our healing with his life. The Bible says by his stripes we were healed. He continued, on the third day you will go up to the house of the Lord. We take the word that we've been given, and then we trust, and we fight with it. We apply our faith to his promise. Hezekiah, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. If I hear something, but I don't mix faith in with what I'm hearing, and it's just like, wah, 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 wah. It doesn't profit me. It doesn't accomplish anything. That's why people can sit in church for 20 years and not change. It's not because God's word isn't true. It's because I have to mix faith with what I'm hearing. I have to say, God, your word is true for me. That I heard, that's true for me. And I have to apply faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God has to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So faith is a part of the process. Then he said to him, I will add to your life 15 years. Today, God is offering you a new start. Wherever you are, God is offering you a new start. That's one of the mission, one of the things about the mission that God has spoken to us here at Hidden Treasures, is that when Jesus came in Luke 4, 18 and 19, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, restoration of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that acceptable year of the Lord is a new start. God offers us a new start. And as Christians, every day we can start as a new creation. If we blew it yesterday, guess what? We get a new day. We can start over. Praise the Lord. Because we all have days that we're like, oh, that day was a wash. Like, it was just, I just want to leave that day in the past. And we can start fresh with God anew. He is offering us an opportunity to live the rest of the years we have on this earth with the purpose he created. He's offering that to you, to live the rest of the years that you have on this earth with the purpose that he created you to live in. He invites us into relationship with him. And in a few minutes, we're going to give an opportunity to pray and ask God to do that. We can start afresh and anew right now, wherever we are, asking God to remind us of the purpose that he has called us to live in, to let us know the purpose that he created us for and with. We can admit that our need for him, and ask for his forgiveness, his grace, and his strength, and allow him to teach us every day. He said, God continued to Hezekiah in verse 6, I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Now, this was a huge promise if you read in the previous chapters, because what is about to happen, in this account is in Isaiah 36 through 38. It's in 2 Kings where we're reading it, chapters 18 through 20, and it's also in Chronicles. But the chapters, they say what this that happened with Isaiah actually happened before chapters 36 and 37 in Isaiah 4, 18 and 19. And that's important because of what was about to happen with the king. As the king, Hezekiah felt the weight of the need for deliverance. But he responded the same way when the king of Assyria came against them. The Bible says that in those chapters that I was just talking about, because the king of Assyria came, he promised, I'm going to do all of these terrible things to you and to the city. And he wrote a letter. Hezekiah came. He laid out the letter in the house of the Lord before God. Laid it out. Like, God, this is what he's saying about you. It is a wise thing when we learn as leaders of our household, as leaders in our jobs, as leaders in our families, that we learn every problem, lay it out before God. That's wisdom. And that's what Hezekiah did. And God supernaturally delivered him from that army. Supernaturally. He took the threat to the one who was bigger. Because God sees and knows. All right, I want to end with this last part. He said, and this was interesting to me. He said, take the lump of figs and put it on the boil. Listen, sometimes when it comes to healing, because we come up and pray, and as when you come up and ask for prayer, we're listening, asking God for wisdom. God, how do you want us to respond to this? Sometimes God says, use something physical. Use a natural remedy. Like, and if you need one of those, you can call my sister. She knows a lot of them. Or you can call Sam. Sam also knows a lot of them, you know. And he says, take a lump of figs and put it on the boil. This is very interesting to me. Fig, the fig tree, which is native to the Mediterranean, produces a popular fruit. The fruit, leaves, and root are also used to make medicine. I didn't know that. The fig leaf and fruit contain chemicals that might help move through the intestines better. It also contains chemicals. This is from WebMD. So they're like, it might. It also might help control blood sugar and cholesterol levels. But I just thought that that was really interesting. God gives us spiritual instructions, and he gives us physical instructions. Okay? If you're struggling with diabetes and you want us to pray, and then you want to go home and eat a box of donuts, you know? You need to apply some wisdom, okay? That's what I'm saying. You know, there is wisdom and there's prayer. We need to do both, is what I'm saying. And it's interesting to me that he has just said here, he has just said, I will heal him. I will heal him, but take the lump of figs and put it on, you know, put it there. So there's no harm in doing what we can do physically. And actually, he gave him some specific instructions as to what to do. So we need to be wise to hear good counsel. When it comes to prayer, we need to pray. But when God gives us some instructions, and the Lord will speak, he will lead through other people. He will put something in your heart or give you some instruction, you know, lead you how to treat your body. And so all of these things work together. Now, it's interesting. He said that he would pray for him. He said, on the third day, you will go out to the house of the Lord. So sometimes we pray and it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes when we pray, it's instantaneous and people receive miraculous healing. Sometimes when we pray, it takes a day or two. You know, or it takes a week or two. It's just, we have to listen to the Lord and let God lead us. But we need to apply faith. That's one of the biggest things, is that I think a lot of times when it comes to praying for healing, one of the biggest struggles is looking back at all the times that we prayed that somebody didn't get healed. I mean, let's just be honest. That's where, when it's a struggle. But that's why we don't look at the situations. We look at the Word of God. And we just say, God, your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. This is the promise that you give to me. And so we ask him to lead us. And then we ask him, God, is there something physical that you want me to do? Because like I said, there was no harm, no foul, no problem in putting the lump of figs on this. That was what he suggested for him to do. So sometimes there's both. And so I just want to encourage you in that. But I want to ask you, my parents, whenever they would invite people up for prayer, and especially if they were asking for healing, they would say, what scripture are you standing on? And a lot of times we have no idea. We need to learn what the Word of God says and live by it. So if you play that song, I just want to invite you. If you want us to pray for you about a new start, about healing, about wisdom or comfort for anything, I just want to invite you.